life in living color. You know, for most of us in the room who see color, we don't really understand the difference between black and white and color. But I would assume that you have lived enough life that there have been moments in your life where things went from black and white to color. For some of you, the joys of life. I can remember the first time that I watched our daughter being born. There was that moment for me of watching that act take place, and all of a sudden, the rest of the world seemed to change. There was something in me that saw life from a different perspective, that saw life in a different way. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you saw this in a relationship. You saw this happen in the birth of your child, or for some of you in the room, the birth of your grandchild. You were so excited knowing that you can hand this kid off to their parents and you go home and sleep, right? We see this in friendships, love. Unfortunately, for some of you, that moment when the black and white turned to color is not a happy moment. For you, it was a bad doctor's report that ultimately ended in the death of someone you love. Or the person that came to you and said, you know what, I don't love you anymore. Or for you, it was when you had the perfect job and then they came to you and said, we're downsizing, we no longer need your services. Or the good friend that stabbed you in the back. You remember those moments where your life went from black and white to color, where it seemed to you that all of a sudden the world was bigger than you thought. There were more things in your world than you thought could possibly happen. And what I love about the images that you just saw on the screen a few seconds ago, of people who saw the world for the very first time with color in it, is we get that same kind of image in the resurrection of Christ. Now, I'm sure that for some of you in the room who've read the stories of Jesus' resurrection, you've never really thought of what it looked like for life to go from black and white to color. But the reality is this. If you go back and trace back to Saturday night, the truth is in the first century after Jesus died, not one person on the planet Earth believed for one second that he would raise from the dead. All hope was lost. All hope was gone, all hope was over, and every person on the planet Earth on Saturday night thought to themselves, this movement of God, these healings that this guy did, the nice things that were done are all done for naught. And then Sunday happened. And you watch people's worlds change from black and white to color. If you don't believe me, let me give you some of the people who encountered these moments. There were those folks that after Jesus died, they put him in a tomb and they sealed up the tomb. And there were these Roman soldiers and their job was to do nothing more than to stand guard of this tomb. You see, the religious elite thought that a group of individuals might come and steal Jesus' body and claim a resurrection. And so they decided to put a group of Roman soldiers right outside. And you can imagine that early Sunday morning where they were doing nothing more than their job. They were getting paid to do this. And there they were just standing there. And then all of a sudden, there was an earthquake that took place. An earthquake that was so big that even foreign historians who never even knew Christ existed would write about it. It was a massive earthquake and the ground shook and then the stone rolled open and there were these guards, these hired men who were standing there, and here's their response. It's found in the book of Matthew. It says this in the book of Matthew about their response. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Can you imagine that moment for those guys? The resurrected moment, because their world was black and white till then, and then boom, all of a sudden, they're like, boom, and they fall down. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been around somebody who's fainted, you know exactly what this is like. I'm a pastor. I get to do weddings a lot, and I love doing them. But one of the things that I've had happen on two occasions of the hundreds of weddings I've performed is two times somebody in the wedding party passed out. And I got to tell you, it's kind of funny. Because you have a bride and she's a little nervous and a groom and he's scared to death. And there they are. And then all of a sudden you see a guy's woo, 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 boom, down for the count. And now all of a sudden everything shifts because they're dead. This is what happened to the soldiers. These guys were just doing their job. And I think for some of us, if we brought somebody into this room who had been dead for 3 days and we placed the casket right here in front in the middle, none of you in the room would think for 1 second that person's gonna walk right out of that coffin. None of us would. And when they did, some of you would woo, 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 boom, down for the count. There were some other responses of black and white to color. Another one was a group of ladies who arrived really early in the morning. And part of the job of Jewish women is that when somebody close to them would pass away, after 3 days, obviously, they knew that there'd be a smell that would start coming from the tomb. And so they were going to ask the Roman soldiers to roll the stone back so that they could go in and place some basically smelling salt, some very nice herbs, some things to make things smell a little fresher in the tomb. And so they arrive very early in the morning. And can you imagine as they arrive, the stone is rolled away. There's an angel that's sitting on the stone and they're thinking to themselves, what in the world has happened? And they have this conversation. And then there's a second individual that's there. And in the course of their conversation, Mark 16 records it this way. And they simply find this moment where they realize it's Jesus. And it says, the women were shocked. Because they didn't expect it. And some of us didn't expect it. I mean, you came here today with your world and doing the things that you do, and you figured out the margins, and you know how you can live and how you can do things and the mistakes that you make, and you're living inside of it, and you're trying to make someone happy because you're here. And the truth of the matter is, you're shocked that this is real. Just like they were. There was a couple of guys who actually was around for all of the crucifixion, and they were walking to a nearby town about the distance between where you're sitting in Rusheville. And as they were walking along the road and they were talking to themselves about the difficulty of this guy Jesus dying, something happens. A third guy just starts to walk with them and he says to them, hey gang, what's going on? And they look at him and say, dude, where have you been? And he said, I'm right here. And they said, you mean you haven't heard? Everybody knows about this guy named Jesus. Everybody knows that he died. And we all knew that we thought he was the one. But I guess not. And then that third individual starts to explain to them that Old Testament, the first half of the Bible that many of us don't like to read. They walk through, and this individual says, hey, guess what? There are 300 passages through this that tell about this guy, Jesus, and the fact that he would come, he would live on this earth, he would die, and he would resurrect. And he walks them through in their journey on a town that wasn't very far away, and he walks them through, and he says, this is what happened. This is what this scripture meant. This is what this scripture meant. This is what this scripture meant. And then in that moment, immediately, he said, I got to go somewhere else. And as he walked away, the men realized, oh my goodness, that is Jesus. And black and white went from color. And here's what they said to one another. They tell us this. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained all of these scriptures to us? For some of you right now, the things that you saw through the song, the visions that you saw of people seeing color for the very first time, there is something in your heart that burns within you. There is something inside of you that says, this has to be more. This has to be the more that I've been searching for. And just like the men who are on the road to a place called Emmaus, there's something burning in you. Well, there's a couple more groups of people that got to experience this black and white to color thing. One of them was his best friends. Jesus had a dozen guys that he hung out with all the time. We call them disciples. And one of them was the person who betrayed Jesus. And so now we're down to 11, and 10 of these disciples are present at this time. And they're sitting around, they're scared to death because their leader has just been taken off and crucified. He's died, and they think they're next. And as they're hanging out in a room by themselves, all of a sudden, Jesus appears in front of them. And the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 24, their response from black and white to color, it says this, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And for some of you, this is what Resurrection Sunday means to you. You still don't really know about resurrection because you've never seen it. Yeah, you've read about it. You went and watched two movies about it. But you don't really understand it. And quite honestly, you've been doing this church thing maybe your whole life. And quite honestly, there's something in you, though, that you recognize. There's something there. I just can't explain it, but there's an awe and a wonderment about it. And you today are just like the disciples on that first resurrection day. There was one guy that was missing. And this guy is a fella that had a hard time believing. Can you imagine when he showed up and all the rest of the guys were like, dude, we've seen Jesus. And he's like, no, come on now. I know it's April 1st, but that's not working for me. And they're like, no, you can't believe it. We saw him. He's alive. And their lives are in vibrant color. And they're just, And all of a sudden, this other disciple who's left goes, no. Like Eeyore, right? No. I don't believe it. This could not possibly happen. And he's there. And he's bringing everybody. He's harshing everybody's mellow. Right? And they're like, dude. And he's like, I don't believe it. I can't believe that this would happen. And to this day, when you have friends and something big goes down and you text your friends and you say to them, you'll never believe what I just saw. And they go, no way, that didn't happen. You like to call them a doubting what? Thomas. This is the story. Here's what Thomas did. He even went as far as some of you like to go. Unless I can take my hand and I can stick it into the side where the spear went in. Unless I can take this finger and poke it right through where the nails were. Unless I can do those things, then I'll believe in the resurrection. But until that time, my life stays in black and white. My life stays in the things that I know, the things that I can control. My life stays inside the lines that I've believed in from the moment that I was a kid, and I will not venture outside of those lines. And the scripture tells us that it wasn't very long after that that Jesus shows up, and he says, hey, Thomas, here's my hand. Give me your finger. And then Thomas, in that moment, believes. And here's his response from going from black and white to color. John chapter 20. My Lord and my God, you are the real deal. I think some of us today maybe having a hard time being convinced about the reality of this Jesus guy. And you're here for a lot of different reasons, but you're not really here to celebrate a resurrection. You're here for other ideas. Maybe you're making that girl happy that you showed up at church. Maybe you took a selfie and you called your mom and she's like, yeah, they finally went to church. Maybe for you, it's because this is what the family does. They show up at Easter to a church service. And you may be in the same boat as Thomas. You're not alone. As a matter of fact, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. Her name is Tracy. And she walked through this life of black and white and watched God convert it to living color in a pretty cool way. Let's watch her story together.
I was born and raised in Michigan City, Indiana. My mother and my father weren't married. And my mother ended up marrying someone else. A few years went by, and there'd been a lot of abuse, physical and sexual. He came home drunk. I started crying, and my mom came in the room and took my sister out of the room and left me there. And I'll never forget that. He had given my mother a choice to, it was either him or me, and she chose him. I was then in turn adopted by the most wonderful people that have ever been in my life. That's my parents, my grandparents. And I had a great life. They loved me unconditionally. They took me to church every Sunday. And it still just wasn't enough. I didn't feel the love that I'd always wanted. And I turned to some pretty dark things. And my life was really, really dark for many, many years. Physical abuse from men, through drug abuse. I was addicted to cocaine in any form. Any form that it came in was what I liked. I almost died a couple of times from using drugs. Most recently, I had a heart attack. And I had been clean for 6.5 years. And I fell off the wagon, per se. And I ended up in a hospital. I just kept saying, no, just let me go, just let me go. And somebody said in that room, I won't forget it, they said, God's not done with you. We're not letting you go. I found myself homeless after my relapse. The only thing I had was my car, and what clothes were mine. I walked into a home that had been mine that I shared with someone for almost 8 years, and there wasn't a trace of me left in that house. There wasn't any pictures of me left up, no memories. And it hurt. And I reached out to a friend of mine. Actually, she's my niece. And they opened their home to me and let me come stay with them until I could get on my feet. And I found a small apartment, this apartment, and I was able to get in here in January. About 6 or 7 months ago, I was at crossroads and had been wanting to get baptized. And I remember going in the water and How Great Thou Art was playing. And that was actually my grandmother's favorite song. And so, tears streaming down my face, I got in the water and I went under. When I came up, I just seen things in a whole new perspective. It was bright and vibrant, and just, I had been restored. I'd been redeemed. I had been made new again. People you thought loved you and cared for you, once they realized the ugly parts of you, a lot of them don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And some of them can just turn their love off and on like a light switch. And God doesn't do that. He loves me regardless of what I've done in my past, regardless what's been done to me. I'm good enough for Him, and He loves me.
Ladies and and gentlemen, my friend Tracy. I'd venture to say that some of you have felt that kind of conditional love, haven't you? When your world got turned upside down because somebody said, I love you to this point. And maybe it was the addiction was too strong. Maybe it was the fact that you were controlling in a way that other people didn't like. Maybe for you, it was the fact that you felt like that your world was heading in a direction and theirs was heading somewhere else. And then I would venture to say that a lot of us in the room try to live our lives with this whole mentality of a scale that we hope the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff, don't we? And you try that. And so you do something that you know is wrong, and then in the course of that, you go back and say, okay, well, once I helped a lady across the street, so I guess that balances that one out. And then you make a big mistake, and you ruin a relationship, and then you say, okay, well, I once gave some money to the zoo, so hopefully that'll help balance that one out. And you live life with this sense of right and wrong and balance back and forth. And the problem is this, you come to a place like this today, and regardless of the reason of why you're here, you're still asking yourself this question, is it enough? Did I do enough good things to the bad things? And you can't equal the balance because you know the thoughts that you have. You know the things that are deep inside of you that nobody else in this room knows about. And you're wondering, can I make it? If my life's finished and it's over, am I in? Am I going to make it? You, my friend, are living life with a black and white lens. Because the reason that you came today wasn't for the free coffee and donuts. The reason that you came today is because Jesus knew you needed to be in this room. And the power of the resurrection is the understanding of recognizing for you when your life goes from black and white to color that there was a God who hung on a cross and he died for your sins, but he didn't leave it there. He rose from the dead so that your sins could be wiped away. And many of us in the room, including myself, know the sins we've committed, and we are so grateful for the fact that we serve a Lord who resurrected and wiped our sins away, regardless of the fact of what our friends may say, regardless of the fact of what our families may remind us again and again, regardless of the fact of what in the darkest moments of our night when we're reminded of our past over and over again that may continue in a reel, the truth of the matter is you are here today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is what gives you the power and the understanding to have a world that's filled with color. As a matter of fact, a writer in the New Testament would put it this way. He would say this in 2 Corinthians. This means, he says, that anyone who belongs to Christ, if you're willing today to say, my Lord, my God, just like Thomas did 2,000 years ago, then here's what he says. You become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. And what a celebration.